Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for things that are so clear to us, really, when we read them in the words of Scripture, we can see that you want us to grow up to be like Jesus. And I pray, Lord, there's some things that we learned that we're not to do. There's some things that we're supposed to do. So, Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. And may the preaching of God's word get down into our hearts and change us. And may we be willing to change for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. But speaking the truth in love, that's how we grow up into him, Jesus Christ, who is the head. Now, have you ever heard someone say that to someone else? Especially maybe moms or dads to children. Why don't you grow up? You're 3 years old now. You ought to be able to do some chores around here. Or when someone acts like a child, maybe. Grow up, will you? Grow up. Well, you know, God really does want his children to grow up. And we need to remember that. God wants us to grow up. I got a little ahead of myself there. Kids want to grow up real fast, don't they? And if you ask someone, a child, how old they are, they say 10 and a half. They're not 10, they're 10 and a half. Almost 11, you know. Or they'll say something like 12, but I'll be 13 soon. Yeah. But you ask me, and I say, I'm 57, and I want to stay 57. You know, we're done growing up. We don't want to grow up anymore. But really, we want to grow up inside, in our heart. And you know, children will measure themselves against each other. How strong they are, how fast they are, you know, who can jump the highest. I mean, that was what we did when we were kids. We all lined up to see who was the fastest runner. And you were measuring yourself against the other kids. Today it's, you don't have a mobile phone. You don't have an iPad, you know? But that's how they measure themselves today, you know? But you know what? We do the same thing. We measure ourselves against each other instead of against Jesus Christ. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 8. Second Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 8 it says, for though I should boast, Paul said, somewhat more of our authority, and he did have authority from God, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. Sorry, we're not reading there. It's 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I didn't change it on there. 2 Corinthians. See why we all need the same Bible? Jim was trying to tell me something. I wasn't listening to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Paul says, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we're present among you. Look what he says. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We don't measure ourselves, our spiritual growth, amongst each other. We don't have to look at others and decide, am I growing or not in the Lord? Look to Jesus Christ and find out if you're growing more to be like him. Look at verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Don't look around and say, I'm more spiritual than that person. You begin to measure yourself with someone else, you are not wise. You've measured yourself against another sinner saved by grace. Let's measure ourselves against him, and we'll always continue on the upward road growing. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth.
Amen.
You see? So I just want us to think, what does God think about what God already knows? I wonder what God thinks about what, if he could look into your heart, what does God think about what he already knows? Because God already knows what's in our heart. I wonder what God thinks about my heart today, this morning. Am I growing in the Lord? You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, David, you remember Eliab came before Samuel when they were going to be anointed king. God was told Samuel to go anoint David king. And Eliab came, big, strong boy. And no, God is not, that's not the one that God wants to anoint to be king of Israel. And he paraded all the other brothers, and then he brought in little David. And he anointed David. Why? Because David was a man after his own heart. But when he looked on Eliab, the Bible says that God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. He doesn't look the way we look at each other. He measures a man by his heart and how much he loves the Lord, you see. And the same thing with ladies also. Look in 1 Peter. I want you to see something, ladies. God's looking at the heart. There's nothing the matter with a woman making herself look nice and drawing attention to her face and looking modest in her dress. But my friend, God is looking at the heart. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 3, it says this. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of what? Great price. That's what God wants to see in all of us. He wants to see a heart for him, like David had, a man after his own heart, a woman after his own heart. God is looking on the attitude of our heart. Is there unforgiveness? Is there complaining? Is there gossip? Is there talebearing in our life? This month has been about discipleship, following Jesus Christ, and ultimately we want to grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Not outwardly, but inwardly. Not conforming to the world. We're not conforming to some set of rules. That's religion. But inward change in our hearts. That's what's important to God. The heart of the problem really is the heart. When we boil it all down, it's our heart, people, that God is concerned about. Turn to James chapter 1. Just back one book there. James chapter 1 and verse 26. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's just empty. It means nothing. If you say you're religious and you can't even take care of this little member right here, your religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You see, we can do all the outward acts, but how's your heart? Are you unspotted from the world? Are you keeping yourself unspotted from the world? Inward purity, inward growth is what God's concerned about. God's concerned about obedience more than sacrifice, is he not? Isn't that what he told Saul? I'm just trying to get you to focus in on your own heart before God. Am I growing? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We don't have to look around. We don't have to measure ourselves up against anybody else. We just have to get into this book and let God speak to us about our own heart. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 14. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a prayer. But did you see it? Did you see the most important thing? Look in verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God's concerned about the insides. Not the outside so much. The inside. The outside will take care of itself if we just get our hearts right with God. That's where I want to grow. In here. Inward change. I don't steal anymore. I don't do drugs. I don't fornicate. I don't go to pubs. There's a lot of things I don't do. I don't fight anymore, hopefully. I don't fight. I don't smoke cigarettes. Been off them for many, many years. So I'm okay. No, I'm not. Not if I'm not right in my heart with God. You really want to test your growth? Do you really want to see if you're growing? You really want to find out? Well, let's see if you've grown or you're growing where it really counts. Back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Look what it says. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It was really tough thinking of that one little statement. Do I always speak the truth? Not only speak the truth, in love. Because this not only deals with what we say, it deals with where it comes from. And this is where the rubber meets the road, church. This is where God's looking. Are you speaking the truth in love? Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And in verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, not that he eateth with unwashing hands. It's what's in a man's heart that ultimately comes out through the mouth. All that wickedness is down deep in our hearts. Look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. And let me say, there's not one person in this room that's immune to what we're going to be preaching about this morning. Not one. Not one of us. We've all got to deal with God. Go to the throne of grace and try to get some forgiveness and help for the things that are in our heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Not what goes in, it's what comes out of the man, because it comes from his heart. Evil thoughts, what we think will be what we are and what we say. What we say comes from what we think. I mean, think about it. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's talking about the flesh, the fleshly man, the man given to appetite. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you're thinking up here ultimately gets down into here, and that's what we are. That's what we are. What are you thinking about? Our words are very important. Our words are very important. And the attitude behind them. What we say, and then why we say it. We can say good things and be ready to stab somebody in the back. And sometimes we say bad things. They come from an evil heart. And we've not gotten along with God and gotten our heart right with God. And we say things that hurt people. You know, first thing we need to do is stop lying. Ephesians chapter 4. Back in Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to mark a couple books, I'll be in 1 Peter, I'll be in James, and Ephesians an awful lot. But if you want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, we will be in 1 Peter time and again. And Ephesians chapter 4, look in verse 25. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love. Verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Think about that. Why are we to speak truth? Why are we to put away lying? For, that little word means, here's the reason. We are members one of another. We're the body of Christ. We're a family. And we should put away lying amongst ourselves. Put it away. Cast it off. Get it away from you. Some of us say, I don't lie anymore. Well, I don't know. I don't know your heart, whether you've lied or not, on your taxes. I don't know whether you always tell all the truth. There was a time when you put your hand on the Bible in some countries, and the clerk would ask you, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yes, I do. Well, do we do that every day? When someone calls on the phone and you don't want to talk to them, you say, tell them I'm not home. Come on, we've all done it. No, not them. Tell them I had to go to the store. So not only are you lying, you're asking the person on the phone to lie for you. Very simple illustration, but it just comes out of us sometimes. You know why? Because it's in us. We need to grow. No more lying. We must speak the truth to each other because we are family. We are in the body of Christ. We shouldn't talk that way to each other. You know, it's harder to squash a half-truth than to crush a whole lie. I mean, that's how Satan works, in half-truths. He mixes a little lie and a little truth together. That's how people are getting off on different doctrines. And it's harder to crush that than it is a whole lie, a half-truth. Be careful you don't say just 90% of the truth. You say the whole truth. Now look, you wouldn't tell your right, you wouldn't let your right hand cut off your left hand. You wouldn't do that. Then why would I lie to my brother in Christ? Why not speak the truth in love? Why? Because he's part of my family. That's what the Bible's trying to tell us. And we hurt each other when we lie. Put it away. Put it away from us. No more tale-bearing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. You know what I found out? The Bible mentions men. Men are gossipers. Men are talebearers. And so are women. I'm preaching this morning. But you know, I was shocked to see when I read my Bible that it says he. For if a man, I thought, you know, we do the same thing. We just do it in a different way. We say, look, brother, did you hear about it? We need to pray for him. But let me tell you what happened, because we need to pray for him. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we tell people things, and someone confides in us, and then we say, look, brother, can you keep a secret? Because I still can, and I got to tell somebody. And you're expecting that person to have some integrity when you can't have any integrity. Stop it. It's tail bearing. You know what that is? Bearing tails. Running around with your little tails of untruths. And sowing discord among the brethren. That's what it is. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says this. A tail bearer revealeth secrets. But doesn't that put a knife right in your heart? If somebody would confide in you and tell you something, and they really ask you to pray with them about it, and you would just reveal that to someone else. In the name of what? But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. But he that is of a faithful spirit. Men, don't be talebearers. Be faithful. If you only knew what your pastor may be holding inside, burdened about, that he doesn't tell anyone else about. And each and every one of us may have something in our heart. Keep it to yourself. Let that thing so burden you that it throws you to your knees that you pray for that person. But don't be a talebearer. Be a faithful man. Don't reveal secrets. Chapter 16, verse 28. A froward man. That means a disobedient man, a perverse man, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Friends can be split apart by a a little whisperer. Somebody who's got to tell somebody else and whisper in their ear something that they want them to know. It's gossip. And it's a froward man that does it. He's sowing strife. He's sowing contention. He's sowing struggle in the lives of two people who are friends. He's a whisperer. He's a talebearer. And it's sin. It's sin. Chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19 says this. He that goeth about as a talebearer, revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Now look, if you want to flatter your wives, that's fine.
Amen.
That's nothing the matter with that. But flattering each other, be very careful, because let me just tell you what flattery is. Flattery is to entice, to coax, by praising them. Many times flattery has its hidden agenda inside of it. All for some purpose so as to gain favor. You know? Are you telling the truth when you're flattering? Or do you have some hidden agenda? You know, I'll tell you, we need to be careful about this tale bearing. Turn to chapter 26. Chapter 26 and verse 20. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Try to say that three times. Ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man, that froward man, to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down deep into the innermost part of the belly. They hurt. They hurt people. We hurt each other when we bear tales, and someone finds out that they were talking about them, that they were whispering about them. It hurts. No one talks to each other anymore face to face when they have a problem. It's all texting, phone calls, Facebook, all this social networking. Nobody sits down and talks face to face, because the devil can't stand it when two brothers come together and say, "Brother, I got something I got to tell you. We need to talk this out." Not texting. The devil has to flee, because we're opening up our hearts to each other. The devil has to flee. But this texting and all that, sometimes we don't know what people mean, or we don't understand what they're trying to tell us. Whispers and gossip. God doesn't listen to gossip. God judges gossip. And he's judged each and every one of us, because there's times when we've been talebearers. Stop it. We need to stop it as a church. No talebearing. I'm just preaching. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that I've borne tales before. And I'm a sinner. And I don't want to do it. And I hope you don't either. Well, I found this little acrostic. It's called THINK. THINK. I didn't put it up there. Sorry. But T. T. Is it true? THINK. T. Is it true about what you're ready to tell somebody? H. Is it helpful? Will it help the person? I. Is it inspiring? Is it going to build them up? Is it going to help them in some way? N. Is it necessary? Do you really have to say this, or you just want to flap your gums, you know? Do you really? Is it really necessary for this person to know this? And K. Is it kind? Are these kind words, full of grace and wisdom, seasoned with salt, the Bible says? Think before we talk. There used to be a game called Whisper Down the Lane. Do you remember that? There might be 15 people in a line.
We call it Chinese.
Chinese Whisper. And you would say one thing in a person's ear, and they would say it to the next. And by the time it got to the end, it was like, what? Jimmy's got big ears. I didn't say that. And we'd all get twisted around. Well, that's what happens with talebearing, and it needs to stop. No more murmuring and complaining. Woo, we thought we were all right till we got to this. John chapter 6. I found myself complaining this morning. John chapter 6. And in verse 40, John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up that last day. What a wonderful thing that Jesus is talking about. And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Because murmuring is always a grumbling and complaining spirit behind it. Kids murmur all the time and complain. What do I got to take the rubbish off of the building? What do I got to do? He never does it. I always have to do it. It's a mumbling, complaining attitude. And we laugh. But aren't we not the same? You know? What do I got to go to church today? Let somebody else go to church today. You're the preacher! All right, I got to go. I want to stay in bed. But we just mumble and we complain. And you know what? God hates it. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I hope I got this one right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You remember this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 10:1. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat all the same spiritual meat. Remember the manna and the quail, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Do you remember when they got water out of a rock? But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. They lusted after meat. Give us more meat. And they got enough meat. It was coming out their nose. They murmured and complained. They didn't have enough. And God gave them water. And he gave them manna. And he gave them quail. Till it was coming out their nose. And they just murmured and complained. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. You say, I would never worship a golden calf like they did. But they did worship a golden calf. And when Moses came down, he wasn't happy about it. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day, 3,000. You'll find that in Numbers 25. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. You remember that? They were destroyed of serpents. Because of what? Murmuring and complaining. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. Let's just look at one of them. Numbers chapter 14. All through the book of Numbers, you find the people murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. And you know what? If we were there, we'd be murmuring and complaining. Wouldn't we? Verse 2 in 14, chapter 14. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. Anything but this. Really, you want to go back to Egypt and make bricks without straw? You want to be under Pharaoh? Do we want to go back into the bondage of the world? Look what God has given us. And we murmur and we complain. Just like them. Verse 4 says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return to Egypt. Let's go back to bondage. Anything's better than this. Anything's better than bread and meat and fresh water. And your clothes aren't wearing out. And your shoes are like brass. Wow. That's who we are. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let me show you why we need not be murmurers and complainers. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 13, the Bible says, Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, why would he say that? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And when we're murmuring and complaining, our light goes out. Let the people see out there in the lost world a happy people, a glad people, a thankful people. Let our light so shine that we're thankful and grateful for being a Christian, not murmuring and complaining. Constant murmuring and complaining shows a lack of thanksgiving to God. and a lack of trust in God. Look, God's part is that he's working in us. Our part is stop murmuring and complaining. No more corrupt communications. Philippians, I mean, back one book to Ephesians, I mean, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse, that should be 29, I believe. Ephesians 4:29, that is. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Now, corrupt just means defiling, putrid, unfit, rotten. You know what it reminded me of? Meat with maggots on it. Good. That's what I wanted everybody to... You know, I remember back in the States, we put the rubbish out at the road, and it had some chicken parts or whatever in it, and it was a hot day. It gets hot over there. It was like 95 degrees for an extended period of time, and they dumped the trash. They dumped the bin, but when I brought it back in, I just popped the lid up, and it was covered in maggots. I was like, whoa. I mean, I even was taken back, and I just hosed it all down. Why? Because the meat was spoiled and rotten. And God said, that's the language that's coming out of your mouth. And he says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. We do have power over our tongue. It's just that we don't take power over our tongue. We do have power over our tongue. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to mark this place in Ephesians, go right ahead. But I also, because I'm going to come back. But 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 17 says this. Honor all men. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, even those who disobey. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I'm just trying to get you to understand that our goal is to be like Jesus Christ, speaking the truth in love, and that there ought not be any corrupt communications coming out of our mouth. We never have a right to sin with our words. Never. We never have a right to cut people with our words. Even when we're hurt by others, Jesus, I think, was hurt by others. Not just at the cross, but they mocked him and ridiculed him. And never once was guile found in his mouth. Amen. Never once did he have any, he was trying to trick them and lie to them and deceive them. He never reviled back when they reviled him. That's what we're supposed to be like, Jesus Christ. What about our motives? 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow, ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. Wow. Lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. There it is again. To what? To grow. These are the things that keep us from growing. It's not the outside. It's the inside. It's what's in our heart. There's some things we need to lay aside. And the first one is malice. Malice is just a bad disposition. I told you to hold on to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and hold 1 Peter. But you see, Ephesians chapter 4. You know, malice is a disposition to injure others without cause. It's when you have absolutely nothing against them, but there's something in your heart that wants to hurt them with your words. And it actually means for our personal gratification. Can you imagine hurting somebody with your words just so you feel good about it? Tear them down. That's what we do. It's a spirit of revenge. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, let all bitterness, and that's the beginning there, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's something we need to lay aside. We need to lay aside. These are the weights that doth so easily beset us that are talked about in Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that which doth so easily beset us, the Bible says. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Put away malice. Lay it aside. Lay aside guile. Guile. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Guile, to craft a deception, to cunningly devise a trick. This is the wiles of the devil. This is what the devil does. He speaks with guile. Look, we do too. It wouldn't be saying it in the Bible if we didn't have problems with it. But we do. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Not with guile, as we just read about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Why? Because he loved them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That came from a heart of love for the same people that were against him. Speaking against him, we need not to craft deception. We need to talk to each other with genuine love. Unfeigned love. Lay aside... Forgot the envies. Envy is to feel uneasiness. Did I not turn them around? Okay, there's envy. I want to go to envies first. Look in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Just over to the right, one book, two books. To the left, I'm sorry. James chapter 3 and verse 14. Look what it says. Envy is to feel an uneasiness or a discontent at the sight of someone else's well-being and excellence. Can you imagine that? To see somebody maybe, get a certificate up here, and can you imagine all their kids looking at them with envy? I want to be up there. That's what envy is. And you're actually disappointed in someone's good reputation and their happiness. I envy them. And then you hate them. But in James chapter 3, verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Who is behind that? Satan. Satan envied God. He wanted the worship of God. And he was cast out of heaven because of it, of his envy. Oh, we not envy each other. We don't want to hate people because they're doing well. But we do. Isn't it amazing? We can actually not like somebody because they're doing okay. We ought to confess it as sin. Because that's what it is. And then hypocrisies. Pretenders. Look at verse 17. Same chapter there in James. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, without putting on a show, without pretending. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. That means without a show, without pretending. Let your love for each other be real and genuine. Don't pretend with people. Be yourself. No acting. You know, a man can carry a Bible and he can talk Christian language and praise God for all of his blessings and love things that are holy and be an Adolf Hitler. That's what Adolf Hitler was before he took over. He carried his Bible. He talked about God and how good government would be when God was in government. And he loved piety. He loved holiness. He was acting. Adolf Hitler carried his Bible. We're not concerned about the outside. God's concerned about the inside. And evil speaking. Uttering slanderous words. James chapter 4, verse 11. Look at James 4, 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Don't speak evil of each other. If you don't have something nice to say, my mother says, don't say anything. You know, those old wives' tales, they kind of like line up with some of this. Just shut up. Don't say anything. Even the fool is counted wise if he keeps his mouth shut, the Bible says. Even a fool, if he just shuts up, he's counted as a wise man. Amen. Speak not evil one of another, brother. And he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And who made you judge and jury, they used to say? Who made you judge, jury, and executioner? Uttering slanderous words to injure someone's reputation. What can help us? Just turn over to the right, find 1 Peter chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 2, and look in verse 2, 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow. What do I need? I need the Bible. I need the word of God to constantly show me what I am today. And I got to change it. That's what changes you. Looking into the Word of God. Letting it change you and obey it. And confess your sins before God. I'm a slanderer and I have to stop it. It's wicked. I'm a talebearer. I envy that person. Stop it. Amen. The Bible will show you that. And as Graham so rightly said, as a newborn babe, as Caroline just cries out for milk. Luke wants milk. And when he wants it, he cries. They want milk so bad. That's all they're concerned about is put the milk in me. We should be so newborn that we would desire milk like that. The milk of the Word of God. We should so be like that. We should want our Bible that much that we can't live without it. We crave it. And we cry when we don't have it. That's what's going to help us. How about our ways? 2 Peter 3:18. That's just our words. Don't worry, this moves along. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We're talking about growing up. Grow up. But grow, it says, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are some things we know, we already know, and we already pretty much understand them that ought to change us. And the first one is, in verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, seeing then, or because you know this, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What's he saying? Because you know what's happening in verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is all going to be gone. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is all going to be dissolved. It's all going to be gone away. And since we know that, why would our trust be in the world and our roots be in the world? This is all going to go away. What should happen to us? Our ways should be holy and godly in our behavior. Why? Because this world's going to be dissolved. Everything in it is going to, it's going to be gone. This is a sin-cursed world. And because we know it's going to be burned up, it ought to make us be holy and godly. That's what's important to God, not even this whole world. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is that what you want to grow up into? To be holy? I hope so. We ought to be found of him without spot and blameless. In verse 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Well, what's he saying? Well, look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Someday, we're going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. Absolute righteousness. And since I know that, I should be found of him now in peace, without spot and blameless. My life ought to show what I'm looking forward to. It should change my ways. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. God is preparing a bride. God's preparing a bride. And when Ruth came down the aisle and any bride comes down the aisle, how would it look if there was a big coffee stain on the front of her gown? Or mud all over it? Huh? John would be like, whoa, what happened here? Did you miss your mouth and pour the coffee down? It just wouldn't look right, would it? Well, what about when Jesus says, come up hither? He takes his bride to heaven. That ought to make us want to be holy and godly and without blame in this world. That's what it ought to do to us. We ought to know our Bible and trust it completely. Look at verse 17. It says, ye know, beloved, seeing you know these things. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I just think we ought to study our Bible. We ought to know our Bible. We ought to love our Bible. We ought to live our Bible. Why? Because it's the truth. It is absolute truth. And verse 16 says, as also in all his epistles, Peter's saying about Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. I don't need to twist the scriptures. I don't want to wrestle with the scriptures. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to be taught the truth, and then I want to live the truth. I'm not going to wrestle with my Bible. I'm going to study it, not wrestle with it. I'm going to submit to it. Matthew 22:29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. What happens to us? We fall into sin because we don't know what the scriptures say. And we won't yield to them. That's our ways. And finally, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Our need. Our need in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what I need? You know what you need? You need the mind of Christ. You need the mind of Christ. That we might first make ourselves of no reputation. Not try to be anything but just a servant of God. I'm a child of God. That's good enough, isn't it? I'm a child of God. We're just sinners saved by grace. Romans 12:3 tells us that. Behold, don't think of yourselves too highly, brethren, it says, because that's when you fall. Just see yourself as a child of God and a servant of Jesus Christ. Don't seek the approval from men or the praise of men. It's God that knows our hearts. It's God that will lift you up. Can you be emptied of all credit and all honor if nobody ever pats you on the back, nobody ever tells you how wonderful you are? Absolute, total surrender of self so that God has complete charge of your life. That's what Jesus did. And he was King of heaven. And he left his throne and he came down and made himself. It's something that we have to do. Make ourselves of no reputation. We have to take the form of a servant. You can read Ephesians 6, 6 and 7. It just says that we do all things, not as men pleasers. We do it because God's watching our life. Jesus said he came to minister and not to be ministered to. He came to serve others. What about you? Have you taken the form of a servant? Does it show in your life that I just want to serve God? That's a good place to be in. Just serve God as if he was watching you. Because he is. He is watching us every moment. Are we serving him? Seize the opportunity to be a servant. You know, I wrote down here, every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. I've chosen to be a servant of God when I got saved. You know, I'm not a slave anymore to my sin. I'm a servant of God. I make choices every day whether I'm going to serve God. A slave doesn't have that choice. Before I got saved, I was a slave. I did what the world said. I did what my own self said. I did what the devil wanted me to do. I did whatever I wanted to do. But I was a slave to that sin. Now I get to serve God. I'm a servant of the Lord. I can make up my own mind. I have freedom and liberty to serve God. You need to humble yourself too. Think about Jesus coming down from glory. And all the praise of multitudes and multitudes of angels praising him up there. And he came down and he took on this. Made like unto his brethren, that he might die a death on the cross. This is the God of heaven. This is the Word that came down and took on flesh. He humbled himself. He certainly did. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he'll exalt you. Humble yourselves. It's again something that we have to do. The flesh always wants to be first, in front, and noticed, and pleased. But humility takes a back seat, lowers itself, takes the seat in the back. You know how the Pharisees always wanted the chiefest seats? Just seek to be humble. It's something that you have to clothe yourself with humility. It doesn't come natural. The flesh will rise up the moment you try to humble yourself. We need to bring ourselves down before God does. I've been humbled by God before. I'd rather humble myself. And be obedient. Be obedient. Jesus fulfilled the obedience of his Father. Jesus did not come up short when it counted the most, did he? John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What satisfied him was doing the will of his Father. Being obedient. Aren't you glad? John 19:30 is in your Bible. It is finished. Mission accomplished. Not only on the cross, but the resurrection. He's able to give us eternal life. Salvation. You may be here this morning and you don't know if you died today, where you would spend eternity. I can tell you, if you don't know that, if you're not saved, I can tell you where you're going to go. You're going to go to a burning hell. Prepared for the devil and his angels. People don't want to hear that today. It's hardly even preached in the church that there's a burning hell in the middle of the earth. And if we could possibly open the lid and look down or hear the cries of people in hell right now, they're there. And that's where you're going if you're not saved. God has a heaven prepared for those who will trust in him, believe in him, not through religion or baptism or good works and all the other stuff out there, but by coming to a place of repentance, seeing yourself as a lost sinner. And all I need is Christ. He said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. That's good. The day you got saved, you entered in through Jesus Christ. Look, God wants his children to grow. In our words, what we say, speak the truth in love. In our ways, what we do, we need to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our need, what we think, we need to have the mind of Christ. The focus is on the heart, isn't it? It's in the inner man. That's what God's interested in, your heart. So what's the challenge? Romans chapter 8. This is the last verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Look what it says. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God the Father just wants you to be like Jesus. Amen. He wants to look down and see Jesus in your life. Let me read you something. While reading Malachi chapter 3, a group of women in a Bible study came upon a remarkable expression in the third verse of Malachi 3. It says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. One woman spoke up and said the verse was intended to convey the sanctifying influence of the grace of God. Then she said she would visit a silversmith and report to the other women what he said on the subject. She went accordingly and, without telling the object of her errand, begged to know the process of refining silver, which the smith described to her. But sir, do you sit while the work of refining is going on? Oh, yes, ma'am, replied the silversmith. I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the furnace, For if the time necessary for refining is exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver will be injured. The woman at once saw the beauty and comfort of the expression, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." God sees it needful sometimes to put his children into a furnace. His eye is steadily intent on the work of purifying, and his wisdom and love are both engaged in the best manner for them. Their trials do not come at random. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. As the woman was leaving the shop, the silversmith called her back and said he had forgotten to mention that the only way to know when the purifying process is complete is when he can see his own image reflected in the silver. Does God know how to write a book or what? You know, our concern just needs to be, am I growing to be more like Jesus? We need to take a good inspection this morning of our own hearts. Because Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may I grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Let's pray.